pressed tightly against one another. In an effort to resist the cold, our heads empty and heavy, our brains a whirlwind of decaying memories, our minds numb with indifference. Here or elsewhere, what did it matter? Die today or tomorrow or later? The night was growing longer, never ending. When at last a grayish light appeared on the horizon, it revealed a tangle of human shapes, heads sunk deeply between the shoulders, crouching, piled one on top of the other, like a cemetery covered with snow. In the early dawn light, I tried to distinguish between the living and those who were no more, but there was barely a difference. My gaze remained fixed on someone who, eyes wide open, stared into space. His colorless face was covered with a layer of frost and snow. My father had huddled near me, draped in his blanket, shoulders laden with snow. And what if he were dead as well? I called out to him, no response. I would have screamed if I could have. He was not moving. Suddenly, the evidence overwhelmed me. There was no longer any reason to live, any reason to fight. The train stopped in an empty field. The abrupt halt had wakened a few sleepers. They stood, looking around, startled. Outside, the SS walked by, shouting, "Throw out all the dead! Outside, all the corpses!" The living were glad. They would have more room. Volunteers began the task. They touched those who had remained on the ground. "Here's one. Take him." The volunteers undressed him and eagerly shared his garments. Then two grave diggers grabbed him by the head and feet and threw him from the wagon like a sack of flour. There was shouting all around. "Come on, here's another, my neighbor, he's not moving." I woke from my apathy only when two men approached my father. I threw myself on his body. He was cold. I slapped him. I rubbed his hands, crying, "Father, father, wake up. They're going to throw you outside." His body remained inert. The two gravediggers had grabbed me by the neck. "Leave him alone! Can't you see that he's dead?" "No," I yelled. "He's not dead, not yet." And I started to hit him harder and harder. At last, my father half opened his eyes. They were glassy. He was breathing faintly. "You see?" I cried. The two men went away. 20 corpses were thrown from our wagon. Then the train resumed its journey, leaving in its wake, in a snowy field in Poland, hundreds of naked orphans without a tomb. We received no food. We lived on snow. It took the place of bread. The days resembled the nights, and the nights left in our souls the dregs of their darkness. The train rolled slowly, often halted for a few hours, and continued. It never stopped snowing. We remained lying on the floor for days and nights, one on top of the other, never uttering a word. We were nothing but frozen bodies. Our eyes closed. We merely waited for the next stop to unload our dead. There followed days and nights of traveling. Occasionally, we would pass through German towns. Usually, very early in the morning, German laborers were going to work. They would stop and look at us without surprise. One day when we had come to a stop, a worker took a piece of bread out of his bag and threw it into a wagon. There was a stampede. Dozens of starving men fought desperately over a few crumbs. The worker watched the spectacle with great interest. Years later, I witnessed a similar spectacle in Aden. Our ship's passengers amused themselves by throwing coins to the natives who dove to retrieve them. An elegant Parisian lady took great pleasure in this game. When I noticed two children desperately fighting in the water, one trying to strangle the other, I implored the lady, "Please don't throw any more coins." "Why not?" said she. "I like to give charity."